It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode as we start to roll out the rest of the week up to a Friday. Yes, property news every morning. You'll find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple, as well as Amazon. And today is a Friday. It is the fifth day for April as we look towards the weekend. Coming up in just a moment, we are going to Donald Trump territory. We're going to Florida to find out a little bit about the property market in one of the cities there, just to sort of mix it up a little bit on our Friday. And as well as that, we're going to be catching up this morning with Simon Kustenmaher. Now, he's got a very interesting take for us this morning. If you are into your 60s, your 70s, you have got your mortgage paid off, you've got a lot of money in the bank, when is the best time to be handing off some of your money? So we will find out when is the best time to help out your family members, probably in their 20s or in their 30s. And with all of that in mind, we are catching up this morning with Crystal Duckworth. Now, Crystal is a principal working in Jacksonville, Florida. She is the owner of Crystal Clear Realty. And good morning, Crystal. Welcome to the US Property Podcast this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, the Jacksonville, Florida real estate market, Crystal, we will have people listening that won't know too much about Jacksonville. So tell us a little bit about what makes Jacksonville stand out, because I know that the low property tax is going to be one of those things.
Yeah, so affordability. So in general, you know, everybody wants to move to Florida because the weather is beautiful, but they all stop here or in Jacksonville, in the northeast part of Florida, because it's affordable. And then as you go down the coast, you'll see it just gets more expensive and more expensive. And what's great here is we still have a lot of land to develop. Duval County in northeast Florida here is developed, but St. John's County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation. So that's our neighboring county. And now they're moving to Clay County. So there's a lot of opportunity for growth in Northeast Florida, which helps make the prices somewhat affordable. And the property taxes are very low, and we have no state income tax. So we will get a lot of people from New Jersey, New York, and also we have freedom and you're working from home. So a lot of people from California, they're relocating here as well. So Jacksonville in general, we are making the news worldwide, and it shows. We have a lot of investors that are coming here, and over 2,000 people are moving here a day to Florida in general. So we are definitely on the map, and I don't see it going anywhere. I continue to see it getting better and better.
So just on that note of people coming into Jacksonville, I mean, that's a lot of people. And no doubt since COVID, you have seen people move in and work from home. Is that still a phenomenon? Because, you know, what's happened around the world, there has been a lot of these cases where that has pulled back. It has dried up. In fact, people that moved out of large cities found that they were missing the city vibe, the city lifestyle, and they went back. So what's been happening in Jacksonville around all of that?
I still see about 50% of our inquiries are buyers or prospective buyers that are still wanting to move here if they already haven't made the move. Now, I do know some have moved back, but it's really just because they wanted to be closer to family. It's still in high demand, as you know, I need to have a home office. And the joke, if you will, is when you show them the house, you say, you know, you turn to your customer and say, can you see yourself quarantine here? And if you can, then they say, then that's not the house for you. So yeah. A lot of people, because of COVID, it did change their perspective, and they really value the true sense of a home. And then, you know, you want to improve your home and stay in your home. There's nothing better than the sense of home. And if you can work from home and it still feel comfortable with your environment, then it's even better and more valuable.
Yeah, the dynamics too between the employer and the employee. I mean, that has radically changed in the job market, where, of course, the employees are saying, well, look, if you want me to come back into the office, I'm not going to be able to continue with my job. Do you see a little bit of that going on there in Jacksonville?
I see a lot of the employers accommodating more so as long as the performance is there. And I've spoken to business owners myself and my sphere of influence. With technology, you know, thankfully, I do notice that they're just changing the ways. We're all changing the ways that we operate. Even in real estate, we do a lot of things more virtual since COVID. So I do see that employers trying to get employees back into the office some, but it's hard because, what is it, 90 days for a habit to form? And after you do this for so many months and years, I just don't see it going back to the typical brick and mortar going to office anymore. It has been a topic that's been brought up. I still think that the employers, as long as they're performing, this is just the new norm.
All right, so let's have a look at the Jacksonville, Florida median sales price, which I think is hovering around that 384K mark, is it?
Yes, correct. Yeah, and you're looking at an average about a $210 per square foot. And I don't see that going down at all. The construction costs to build a new home went up, skyrocketed in COVID, and they leveled out some, but they're not going down. But yeah, but that's about average. And I think affordability is here to stay, affordability issue. And we're just going to see a slow, thankfully steady, again, nobody likes crazy. We have some stability, but steady increase in values.
And what about the days on market? I think that has gone up. Last year, it was in the 30s. We're looking now in the 40s, are we?
Yes, correct. You're looking at about 48 days, which still in the grand scheme of things, it really has to be, the home really has to be on the market for around 120 days to be considered fully a buyer's market. So again, we're seeing some stability and it's just not crazy, which is nice. I mean, 48, 50 days, and it could depend on the neighborhood and could be a little bit more. But to know that if your house is marketed properly and it checks all the boxes and it only takes 48 days to sell your house, that's still a strong market. My professional opinion.
Well, Crystal, great to chat with you this morning. It sounds like the place to be given all of those positives. The sunshine is great, the tax is great, and working from home is also a fantastic idea. And thank you for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning and sharing all of that with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews.
Well, this morning we are catching up with Simon Kustenmarker, and a very good morning to you, Simon. Welcome back.
That's great to be on.
Let's have a look at retiring and retiring with enough to live, because one of the worst things to do when you retire is to actually retire in a car dependent area. And a lot of people won't know about this, Simon. So tell us, why should people not be doing this?
The simple truth is, when we look at mental health data, that once your partner dies, you become very sad and your mental health goes down. What happens to couples that stay in the family home, that do not downsize, that do not resettle, and they live in a car-dependent suburb, the older partner, usually the man, dies, and the woman, the wife, is left alone in the car-dependent suburb. Bit by bit, she will receive fewer visitors, she will feel more and more socially isolated, and her mental health declines rapidly. If you are aged in your 70s and you are both still alive, seriously consider moving out of the car-dependent suburb, move into a retirement living facility if that's what you want, move into a walkable neighborhood. Might as well move to the Gold Coast, as we discussed earlier. It, of course, depends on your personal circumstances, where you want to go and whether you have enough social contacts in the area. But loneliness in old age must be avoided at all costs, and you must make those decisions in your 70s while both partners are still alive, just to have a fighting chance to avoid this terrible misfortune that can happen.
And of course, walkability, that is a great one for just keeping nice and fit as well. So let's just sort of go one step further, since we are talking about retirement, and that is, in terms of your retirement wealth, never ceases to amaze me how people just like to retain and hang on to that wealth as long as possible because they think, well, you know, when I'm dead, the kids get the money. Some people, for whatever reason, they like to see the bank balance with as many zeros in there, but it is far more better to sort of distribute your wealth to your kids when they're younger rather than when they're older. But that in itself is going to bring you a joy and a great deal of satisfaction before you croak it.
That's absolutely correct. Plus, your kids don't need your money when you die. Your kids are most likely in the late 50s or even 60s when you die, statistically speaking, these days. And by then, their own kids, your grandkids, have left the house. They don't need money. Families need money in the family formation stage, in the child-rearing phase of the life cycle, when they're in their 30s and 40s, when they're paying down the mortgage. When they are trying to get onto the property ladder. So the bank of mom and dad can do this. If you transfer wealth, it doesn't need to be an awful lot of wealth. It can be a relatively small share of your wealth, but it helps young people an awful lot at about 5.3% interest rates. When you have a $400,000 mortgage, it costs you $800,000. A mortgage costs you exactly twice as much. That means if you minimize the mortgage of your kids by $100,000, you actually give them $200,000 worth of benefit in the time of the life cycle when they need it the most. So the bank of mom and dad is great for the kids. It's also great for the parents because you actually get to enjoy your wealth. Plus, if you will, you get a better bang for your buck because helping out with $100,000 gets you about $200,000 worth of, you know, joy that you can spread to your family. That's all well and good advice, I would argue, on an individual level, and individuals should do this. But on a societal level, the bank of mom and dad is, of course, creating more inequality because not everyone has parents that can significantly contribute to a down payment or that don't want to. And so you then create a society that is more extremely split into a cohort that has asset-owning parents and a cohort that doesn't have asset-owning parents. And you then create this wealth distribution, this inequality in wealth distribution. And if I'm reading future policies correctly, all the young folks that are writing on policy are pretty clear that they want to tax wealth rather than income in the long run, meaning out goes the stamp duty, in goes a land tax. We'll see lower tax rates on income. We'll see higher tax on the death tax, inheritance taxes.
You know, the takeaway for me for parents that have got asset wealth is the way that they can create, just sort of picking up on that point, if they're doing it for their children late 20s, in their 30s, they're sort of probably doubling their wealth in terms of what they are able to do at that point, as opposed to when they're in their 50s. So in terms of giving them a head start, I mean, they're really crushing it if they're getting in nice and early.
Very much so. And if you don't look at your own bank account, you don't look at your kids' bank account, think of yourself as the family unit, then the family unit definitely benefits from the bank of mom and dad significantly. Because minimizing a mortgage that you have to take out to buy a house, doesn't matter how expensive the house ultimately is, that is really, really helpful. So think of a big mortgage essentially as a poverty tax or as a poverty punishment, because you are not rich enough to buy the house of $1 million outright. You need to take a mortgage of $800,000, and this $800,000 mortgage ultimately costs you then $1.6 million. If you as a family unit can stick together, band together, and manage this wealth transfer while everybody's still alive, the unit as a whole benefits.
All right then, Simon, always great to catch up with you, find out what is going through your head at any time. And I think you're thinking about a lot of these issues all day, every day. And thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.